Hi, I'm Aaron Teach, and welcome to my podcast, The Inner Life, where we explore key topics related to living a conscious life. Today, we're going to be discussing the value of difficult experiences. And for many, this statement itself is a kind of oxymoron. To a certain extent, we all desire positive, happy, comfortable experiences, and we do our best to avoid negative, difficult, and uncomfortable ones. So the question is, where's the value in these challenging circumstances that all of us are constantly trying to avoid? And in many ways, much of life, especially modern life, is predicated upon trying to control our circumstances as much as possible in order to avoid the unpleasant, in order to feel like we are working towards and in control of our happiness and well-being. And if we add into that equation, looking at the media and marketing strategies, we're constantly surrounded by images of smiling, happy people within certain contexts and frameworks that we inevitably internalize as a sense of who we should be. And that has its own challenges that we'll perhaps explore in another context. But the reality is that life throws us a mix of experience, both good and bad, things that we want, things that we don't, and we all need to figure out a way to manage that. In fact, the vast majority of spiritual traditions are based on the insight and understanding that suffering, to one extent or another, is an essential part of our life experience. There's actually an interesting positive psychology experiment that was done, and of all places, it was highlighted in this past year's Super Bowl ads for an insurance company. But the experiment was as follows. Basically, people were put in a room with a whole bunch of words written down on little note cards. And those words signified a lot of basic life events: marriage, graduation, death, happiness, you know, all sorts of different events that occur. And in the first part of the experiment, people were asked to anticipate and project into what they expected in their future. And an important part that I forgot to highlight were that more positive types of experience, graduations, marriages, job promotions, were highlighted in a yellow color. And more negative types of experiences, death, illness, financial strain, losing a job, these were highlighted in a blue color, just to kind of give a very clear color coding between the difference of the positive and negative experiences. And so as people were asked to project into their future, the vast majority of what they put down and the words that they picked out were yellow, or positive experiences. And then in the second part of the experiment, they were asked to look back at their past and pick words that described various points in their lives. And as you zoomed out on that second one, the vast majority were somewhat 50-50, an even mix of yellow and blue, of positive and negative. And this highlights an interesting idea between our general conception of the future and our expectation for endless happiness, and the reality as we look back of the real mix that we get in life. So whether we desire it or we don't, one way or another, we need to make peace with it and figure out how to navigate life's challenges. But today, not only are we going to talk about navigating something we want to avoid, the perspective we're attempting to bring here is that actually the challenging experiences that we are so averse to might be the most relevant and important ones that happen to us. And the two main points we want to explore are, one, the way in which challenging experiences bring out latent capacities within ourselves and hone our consciousness, and secondly, how these challenging experiences build and develop our own self-awareness. I want to start with a story of a client I've been working with for a long time. And he has been dealing with a number of challenges in his life, and that's where we got started. One of which is cancer, on top of a number of other health challenges. And part of what we've been doing in our work, not only about gaining a general perspective on all of these things, but working to try and establish more positive and healthful habits in a primary way for him, changing his diet, exercising, learning how to manage stress. And throughout our time, it's been an uphill battle. It often feels like we're taking one step forward and two steps back, but there's a general sense of progression and things getting better. A couple weeks ago, as we were talking in our last session, we were going over his week, and on the whole, it had been very positive. He had gone to the gym and was feeling stronger and better. He had changed his menu and began cooking and was feeling great about his capacity to nourish and feed himself healthfully. And all in all, he was feeling better and upbeat. But in that general one step forward and sometimes two steps back, on one morning, I think it was a Wednesday, he woke up with extreme nausea and incontinence as a side effect from the chemotherapy treatment. In the middle of the morning, or the early morning, like 5, he had to get up suddenly and run to the bathroom to vomit into the toilet. And while he was doing that, if that wasn't hard and challenging enough, he wasn't able to control his bowels and had diarrhea all over the floor. And if that wasn't enough, it happened to be, coincidentally, that that day he had a really important presentation to give at work, that morning at 9. So anyone can look at this, and this is just, and was, an objectively low point, lying there naked on his cold floor, crying, vomit still down his mouth, burning his throat, diarrhea on the floor, late for work, and trying to pull it all together to prepare for a presentation. But step by step, he got up. He cleaned up the bathroom. He threw his clothes in the laundry. He took a shower. He got dressed. He got to work on time, and he gave his presentation. From one perspective, this was certainly the lowest moment of his week and was highlighting that in our discussion. But from another perspective, perhaps it was the most relevant and successful part of that week. What it took for him in that moment to pull himself together, to not figure out the why or the how, to not feel sorry for himself, but to do what needed to be done, to get up, to get dressed, to clean up, and to pull himself out of that moment and to meet the larger objective that needed to happen at work, was an incredible triumph. And the courage, the fortitude, the patience, the tolerance level it took to do that are remarkable. And that teases out the first value in life's challenges, the way in which it brings out latent capacities within us and it hones our consciousness. To appreciate this, we need to step back and think of the larger goal of what life is about. And from my perspective, life is about learning how to be our highest selves. And our highest selves have certain characteristics: kindness, patience, generosity, humility, wisdom, compassion. And we're not just looking to be our highest selves some of the time. We're moving towards a point where we exhibit and are our highest selves all of the time, in all circumstances, at all times. And of course, none of us are there yet. That's part of the process of life and being a human being itself. Life itself is the process that hones us to become that highest potential in our lived reality, to take that potential inside of us and to make it who we actually are in a moment-to-moment, day-by-day basis. When we're in familiar or controlled and comfortable conditions, it's really easy to be our highest selves. It's really easy to exhibit these qualities that we're all working to develop and hone. But it's only under duress, under pressure, that the aspects of ourselves that need work tend to come out. When we're in a challenging circumstance, it's much more difficult to be our best selves. And so these challenging circumstances become an opportunity, one, for us to learn ourselves better, to see what really comes out when we're under pressure, but perhaps more importantly, are also opportunities for us to expand. A nice way to explore this issue is by looking at the brain mechanisms that underlie our learning processes around unfamiliar events. All of us have learned something unfamiliar at one point or another, and we've all noticed that it takes a lot more attention and energy and effort to do something that we've never done before, something that's somewhat challenging. And as we repeat and get more familiar with an activity or an experience, then over time it becomes more fluid and we are less tired, we're less drained, it requires less attention. And there is a neurochemistry behind that experience. A lot of our pattern behaviors happen through neural networks in our brains. So when we've never done something before, there's literally no pathway for taking and doing that experience. So as we're doing an activity for the first time, we are literally laying the groundwork for knowing how to do something. And every time we repeat it, as we do in future occurrences, we're reinforcing that neural network. So that by the time we've done it 50 times, 60 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, that's a very established neural network pathway in our brain. And as a result, it doesn't take a lot of energy and effort to move through it. And some of the activities that we do most frequently, we can do on autopilot. Things like driving or showering or cooking. Through the process of doing something new and unfamiliar, our brains have literally grown in capacity. And likewise, challenging circumstances in life expand our capacity to deliver the best of ourselves more consistently as we aim to expand that capacity towards every moment, every circumstance. Each of us is an individuated spark of the whole, of infinity. The difference between each of us and infinity is only in quantity, not in kind. Just as a drop of water contains the composition of the entire ocean. Life is about actualizing that infinite potential that lies dormant within each of us. It's about expressing our highest selves in every word, every action, every thought. And it's our life experiences themselves that are the hammer and the chisel that sculpt us into the ultra-conscious beings that we are all destined to become. And life's challenging experiences are the most effective forces that get us there, that get us to ourselves. Perhaps the best analogy for the value of challenging experiences in our lives is strength training, weightlifting. When we go to the gym and we lift weights, by nature, the only way it works is for us to engage a weight which is greater than our muscles can handle. So imagine if the load of your biceps were 100 pounds to make it easy. If you went to the gym and you did repetitions with only 75 pounds, that's well within your load, within your range and capacity, you'd never get stronger. It'd be impossible. If you, on the other hand, you went to 200 pounds or 1,000 pounds, that difference between your capacity and the load would be so much that you'd actually tear your muscles and get injured. But if we upped the weight level just slightly above your capacity, let's say 105 pounds, 110 pounds, then we are engaging ourselves in a way that leads us to get stronger. What's literally happening when your muscles that can handle 100 pounds are lifting 110 pounds is that the muscle fibers at a microscopic level are tearing apart. Just a little bit, not so much that you're terribly injured, but just a little bit that accounts for part of the soreness we often feel the next day. But here's the interesting part. As your muscles are naturally rebuilding, somehow in the unconscious intelligence within your cells and your body, your muscle cells take into account the load that was put on it. So it knows, abstractly, in its own way, that before you could handle 100 pounds. And it computes that what tore the muscles were 110 pounds. And so as it's rebuilding the muscles, it rebuilds the muscles in a way that it can handle 110 pounds. The experience that was beyond our capacity that we had to find a way to engage led us to expand and literally build new tissue that was more capable and stronger than what came before it. And that same process happens in our psyches, in our lives. Just as strength training strengthens our muscle tissues, challenging circumstances strengthen our emotional, our psychological, our mental, and our spiritual capacities as human beings. The second point, in addition to this expansive quality that challenging experiences bring out in us, is they also give us self-awareness that we can do anything. The concept of conscious implies self-awareness. We are not just doing things, we are also aware of doing things. Our wholeness requires both aspects. To be our highest selves, what we do, what we say, what we think, and our self-reflection on what we do, on what we say, and what we think, to recognize ourselves for what we are. And challenging circumstances do both. We spent the first half of this podcast discussing how challenging circumstances forge our highest selves. The only way to know that we can do something is to do it. The only way to know ourselves as something is to become it. And there's no amount of reading, no amount of study, observation, contemplation that can substitute for the raw and immediate experience of actually doing something. Remember, our goal is to be and to recognize ourselves as the infinite, enlightened beings that we inherently are. Infinity is everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, the pleasant, the unpleasant, the happy, the sad, and everything in between. What makes God, God, infinity, infinity, is that it delivers itself in all circumstances, at all times. It's endless. When we respond to the challenges that are happening to us with the best of what we have to offer, then through those experiences, we recognize and identify ourselves with those sublime qualities. One of my teachers once said, "When I was a young man, I feared getting old, sickness and pain, degeneration, loss of meaning." And then he said, "Now I'm an old man, and I no longer fear it." The moral of that story is that we overcome our limitations in what we can actually do and how we perceive ourselves only through experiences that take us beyond those limitations themselves. I want to address one thing that comes up constantly in my sessions with my clients around challenging situations, and that's the fallacy of meaning. When in the midst of challenging circumstances, most people, and certainly the ones that I work with, try to figure out the meaning behind their experience. Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Even what lesson am I supposed to learn from this experience? In fact, that's the one that seems to come up most often, even when people are positively perceiving what's going on. And I certainly understand and appreciate this desire to want to understand what's happening, but perhaps it's missing the point. Perhaps it's not helpful. Instead of trying to figure out the meaning, we should just do whatever is necessary to meet and to overcome the challenge. The meaning, if we can call it that, is whatever faculties are strengthened or awakened through the process of overcoming the challenge. Nothing more, nothing less. We don't need to understand the lesson. We don't need to decipher what's going on. We need to simply engage what's happening. And through that process itself, we will come out the other side different, stronger, expanded. And that expanded self is the reason, is the purpose, is the meaning, even if we can't consciously understand it. I promise you, like the rest of us, are going to experience an even mix of pleasant and difficult circumstances in your life, just like that positive psychology Super Bowl ad indicated. The quality of your experience, however, whether it's positive or negative, fulfilling or discouraging, is going to be determined by your perspective and the attitude that you bring as you engage whatever is happening. To optimize the transformative power of your life, you must recognize that life is about expanding your capacity and your identity to infinity. That expansion comes about through experiences that take us out of our comfort zone and demand more of us than was needed before. Then, by meeting life's challenges, we can truly know ourselves as the beautiful, creative, and infinitely capable beings that we are. If we can really develop this perspective and apply it to our real lives, then we can even develop a sense of gratitude towards life's challenges and difficulties, and in turn, the deepest possible sense of self-acceptance and appreciation. So the next time something challenging happens to you, remember, first and foremost, it's a law of reality that nothing can happen to you that you can't manage. You are never going to have an experience that is beyond your load to expand into. And that is one of the forgiving principles of reality. So as you come across something challenging, step one, know that by definition, you have the inner resources and the outer resources that are needed to meet and overcome the challenge. Then, don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your attention resisting it or trying to figure out what it means. Instead, recognize the challenge as the opportunity for expansion that it is, and do whatever it takes to meet the demand. You will come out the other side closer to infinity than where you started. Inside, we are all diamonds. And diamonds begin as graphite, deeply buried underground, and through millions of years of deep, intense pressure, that graphite is transformed into a diamond. We are living diamonds, and the pressure that's put on us is on life itself. Life is going to deliver to us what we need, and we have the opportunity to deliver the best of ourselves back. Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please leave a comment on our blog page at aaronteich.com, aaronteich.com. I hope you're enjoying this and that you'll join me next month in our next podcast. Until then, be well and be conscious. Thanks for tuning in.